Though the conversation around burnout is nuanced and entirely subjective, I think it's fair to say that we have all tasted what we would call burnout, even though each of our own personal definitions of what that is, looks like, and feels like is absolutely unique. And so today, we are teasing apart the concept of burnout and really getting to the nitty-gritty of what it really is and what it's not. And what could be happening in moments where we think we're burnt out, but we're actually struggling with something much deeper? I think that this is going to be a really illuminating conversation. I feel as though a lot of the time we use the label of burnout to mask what's really going on because it feels easier to label our experience so we have something to point to versus uncovering the deeper layers of our emotional experience, of the experience of our nervous system, and having the courage to work with ourselves on that level. So this is going to be a unique conversation that I'm hoping will change the way that you engage with the experience of burnout as it relates to you and how you're moving through your entrepreneurial journey. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, this is Laura, and you're listening to Expand. Welcome back, love. Let's get into
I think this topic is probably pretty timely considering what everybody's going through.
Exactly what
This
I
was
was thinking.
inspired by Julia in the feed this week when she was asking about burnout, and I replied with a pretty lengthy comment, and I know Kelly, you replied to her as well, and we were wanting to just tease this apart a little bit in real time because I think the idea of burnout is nuanced more than we give it credit for being. I think that a lot of the time, not all of the time, but a lot of the time, we can kind of grip onto this definition of, oh, I'm burnt out, to make sense of symptoms that don't feel comfortable but may not actually be burnout. And I think like that's what I really want to tease apart mostly today is how quick we are to label anytime that we feel uninspired, unmotivated, unhappy, tired as, oh, I'm burnt out. And how we're kind of using that to justify why we're not on our A game. When really, I think that there's a toxic undercurrent to that habit. And the first layer to that in my mind is when we just label anytime we're not feeling good as I'm burnt out, it's a very shaming, dismissive way of not looking at what's really going on.
Yeah, and the like obvious solution to burnout is like, okay, well, what am I doing that I need to stop doing, or do I rest more and blah blah blah. Like it's the surface level type of solutions that like automatically come to mind with the label burnout are completely ignoring what you're talking about, which is like what's actually going on that we're just labeling as this umbrella of burnout, but really has very little to do, if anything, like nothing to do even with like the fact that we're doing too much, usually.
Yeah, I think that it's so much more complex than just how much we are actioning on or how much we are engaged with physically and even mentally and emotionally. Like, that is, of course, a layer to it. I think that sometimes these uncomfortable feelings of being uninterested in what we were interested in the week before, or feeling unmotivated for what we felt motivated to do the week before, those are actually subtle little direction changes in our path that we aren't attuning to because they don't feel good. And if we start touching into what is this lack of interest actually offering me, or what is this lack of motivation or this fatigue really showing me about the way I'm engaging with my work, the world, myself? There's a wealth of information there waiting for you to tap into in the absence of just this blanket, justification that I'm burnt out, and so now something has to change, or something is wrong, something has to go away in order for me to be okay again. When really that's quite often just false, entirely false. And then we start chasing those fixes instead of really looking into what's actually happening for ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
It makes total sense to me. And everything that you wrote under Julia's post was like, oh my gosh, like this is so like relevant in like such an interesting way of looking at burnout. And the part that really stuck out to me was when you were talking about like the trying to escape where you currently are by like your mind being in the future and in the past, like regretting the past and then worrying about the future. And that being a characteristic of what we're just umbrellaing the label of burnout. Mm-hmm. And I was like tuning into like, what is my experience that I call burnout, or that I would label as just like an uncomfortable experience that I have very often that could be under the umbrella of burnout. And for me, it's this experience that I could describe of like feeling this really deep desire, but in a way that's kind of like pressured to escape where I currently am, while simultaneously not having any energy or motivation to do anything about it. Mm. And that's usually what I kind of, that's a battle that I have very often, where it's like, I feel like I'm not where I should be, just like already creating an expectation that is in not in alignment with reality, which is always going to hurt 100% of the time. And then having judgment of myself for then not doing anything about it, or not doing what I think that I should do mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. And that it's that inner like war that's going on inside that just feels so inherently exhausting, like so exhausting. And it feels like it's just like this lack of energy and motivation in me, when really what's going on is so much deeper than that. Yeah. It has so much more to do with my war with reality and the expectations that I'm putting on myself that are different than where I currently am, and probably even what I actually want, going back to like conditioned desire versus actual desire, like me thinking that I should want to be somewhere than where I am, when really what I actually want, if I look really closely, is just to like relax
and be where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this, I'm so glad you went there, because I wanted to layer in a bit of science to this conversation that I think is going to make everything feel very like, oh, I didn't know that was what was going on. I didn't know that that was what burnout really was. And this is coming off of the heels of the trauma and somatics course I just finished. So this is a really interesting little nugget that I've been waiting to dive into somewhere. So this is timely. First, when you're speaking into the anxiety of that's bubbling up in that moment of, I need to escape where I am, but I don't have anything in me to actually move in that direction, and how expectation is really laced throughout that experience. I was listening to a Dharma talk the other day, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget to bring it up here, how expectation is really just hoping for something to happen in the future and being afraid that it won't. That really landed in me. I'm hopeful that something is going to happen in the future, and I'm afraid that it's not. And now we're trapped in that grip of thinking that we can control that in some way. Like, I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, I feel my solar plexus activate. It's like, I know that feeling of hoping and fearing at the same time.
It's so relevant. Yeah.
So relevant. And so when we create that activation, like that came from within, nothing outside of me changed in order for me to just to feel that in this moment right now, I can feel it in my gut. So when we're living that every day, we're creating that activation, that churning, that tension in our bodies every day. What we're actually doing is creating activation in our sympathetic nervous system, We're creating an activation in the part of our nervous system that's responsible for that fight or flight, that we're telling it something is wrong and we have to move. But in the absence of movement, in the absence of discharging that activation, we're basically living at a chronically elevated, sympathetically charged state. And when we think about how heavy it is to be existing inside of that expectation, that's really what we're speaking to. We're chronically elevated, we're sympathetically charged, and we're not discharging that energy anywhere. We're trapping it. We're spinning around with it in our brain, we're holding it in our body, we're tense, we're locked in, we're contracted. And that is actually what leads to that physical sensation of I'm exhausted, I'm burnt out, I have nothing left. Not because we've necessarily done too much, but because we've been living at this elevated, sympathetically charged state for such an extended period of time without the opportunity to discharge that energy, that our body shuts down for us. It's self-protecting. And so inside of this experience of I'm not motivated, I'm not inspired, I'm tired, there's such wisdom there. Your body is taking the reins. It's taking control. It's shutting you down because you have been living at a state that has been unhealthy for too long. Mm-hmm. It's protecting you.
Yeah, there's something so important about the fear aspect here, because that feels so characteristic of what I've always felt in burnout, is just like this, that battle that I described, where it's like, I feel like I should be doing more, but I don't have the energy or the motivation to. Then it's like, well, I could push myself to do more, but then it feels like it's very fear driven, yeah. Right? And then having another war, well, I don't want to take action based on fear, but there's a wisdom in that, like you're saying, where there is this fear of something that you hope is going to happen in the future not happening, that you're essentially telling yourself or putting an expectation on yourself that you should be doing something about it, mm-hmm. that you should be acting on that fear, which is really acting in resistance to the fear, like trying to make sure that the fear doesn't happen, the thing that you're afraid of happening doesn't happen. Yeah. And that never feels good. That's never going to be a self-fulfilling or nourishing energy source to move on. And when we're already in this very contracted state that you're talking about, where your body essentially is shutting down in protection, you're already feeling very limited in your resources and your energetic resources. And then to try to like light the fire by like kicking yourself into gear with this looming fear of like this thing that I hope that I want isn't going to happen. I think that in some cases, and maybe we've all experienced being in a, I'll call it a level of consciousness where we do take action from that place. Like I can think back to periods of my life where that is the primary source of energy that I used was fear, just like moving based on that energy. But it was also like the most miserable time of my life and just very like unpresent. And misery is really the word that comes to my mind. Like it was just a very sticky, heavy, sad place. And I think that we've all potentially moved through periods of time where we did use that fear as fuel and then have kind of created a war with it where we never want to go back to that again. Mm-hmm. And because we realize just how miserable it is to really move in our lives based on that place. And especially everyone that comes into our space has probably moved through something like that and realized, I don't want to live my life that way. That's why you're here. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, we're still expecting ourselves to do that in this like burnout state where it's like, I'm feeling fear, I'm feeling heaviness, I'm feeling like I should be getting somewhere else. I should be moving towards something else, but I don't want to. I don't have the energy to. I don't feel motivated to. I feel too heavy moving in that direction, but then calling that wrong. that we're not wanting to move
slap
that direction.
The label on it. So
and I think questioning it, like questioning ourselves, like should I, like am I just being too easy on myself, like should I be pushing myself more, like am I being too dramatic?
Who am I to think that this just gets to be easy and flowy for me all the time? Maybe I do need to push. Maybe I do need to hustle. Maybe they were all right all along.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
That's so true. That's the thought I think that we all have that we never admit.
Yes.
I know I've definitely had that thought. Who am I to is a daily thought for me. Yes. Honestly, Jenna, that's been a daily thought for me lately too. And I think that that's just a really human way to respond to a moment where, to a moment of expectation, honestly, I think. It's just, okay, I'm hopeful something's going to happen. I'm afraid that it's not. And then the who am I to thought kind of comes in as this self-protective layer. Well, who am I to really think that that's possible for me? Because if we think who am I to, then it's not going to hurt as much if it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're kind of getting ahead of that pain by jabbing ourselves with it ahead of time. That's kind of what's going on there. That's okay. That who am I to thought is so natural. It's insidious. And if we fuel it, it can grow into something that feels out of control. I was talking with my therapist yesterday. She gave me a really beautiful analogy that instantly grounded me. Because I've had a lot of like, okay, where am I going? What am I creating next? Like something's swirling in me and I can't quite figure it out. And she gave me this analogy as to when you're in a place of doubt or the who am I to thoughts or like, where am I going next thoughts and feeling like there is no clarity and I'm never going to figure it out kind of a thing. It's like you're looking through a straw. Your vision is sort of shrunken and you're looking through a straw at the sky, at a dark cloud, and all you can see is the dark cloud. When really, if you took the straw away, there's just this one little dark cloud in the sky and the rest of the sky is blue and sunny. There's just this one little cloud, but when you're looking through the straw, that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
So our job isn't to make the cloud go away. Our job is to make the straw go away.
Zoom out and see a larger perspective. And I think that it's so, everything, I love to bring everything back to like, if we're doing something, we're doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason why we're looking through the straw. Like that feels safe to focus on that one dark cloud going, creating another analogy. Like what if that dark cloud turns into something bigger? What if it turns into a really, really big storm? That's our mind's protective mechanism coming in, assuming worst case scenario and focusing on what could be a threat.
Yeah.
Which from a survival standpoint makes sense, but from a happiness standpoint doesn't at all. Because like you're saying, the beautiful blue sky is going to be there likely most of the time. And the looking through the straw and hyper focusing on what could go wrong, what could come of that little darkness spiraling, making it something bigger than it really currently presently is in the current moment, is not actually helping us prepare for just in case that does happen. We think it is. We think that by really focusing on that little dark cloud and coming up with all of the things that it could turn into and what could go wrong, we're feeling a sense of safety and security around like, what am I going to do if that does happen? And what is my game plan? And like, you know, coming up with all of these ways that we can move through that if and when it does happen, but really we're not going to be any better equipped to handle it if it does happen. And we're also ignoring the fact that what if it doesn't happen? Because we're currently living as if it is going to happen as if it is true that the thing we're afraid of happening is going to happen. And by assuming that it will, it's almost like we're experiencing it right now. Like it's, we're thinking about it happening in the future, but in our bodies, we're experiencing it now, right, presently. Even though the sky is still blue, we're experiencing it as if the storm is, there's a hurricane and everything is going awry, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think beautiful tie-in to what I was offering before around living in this sympathetically elevated place constantly, mm-hmm. and how when we exist there, when we're constantly looking through that straw, hyper-focusing on that black cloud, we get to a place where like our bodies will take control for us and shut us down. Yeah, I had a situation happen like that this weekend and my body is still feeling the pain. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about when we think we're in a place of burnout or we're experiencing these symptoms that we're conditioned to label as burnout, but may not be burnout. It might just be pointing us to things in our life that we can look at and examine and explore and investigate and see, is there room to shift here? Is this forward moving, or is this causing constriction? Is this a wholesome worry, or is this really just causing me to swirl around in doubt and questioning myself as a self-protective way of avoiding the things that maybe I'm afraid of doing? And I think that that's a layer to this that we haven't explored yet. Mm-hmm. Are we claiming burnout as an avoidance to the things that actually scare us more? Right? Yikes. Are we claiming burnout so that we don't have to do the big scary things?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we just really fatigued worrying about the big scary things? Mm-hmm. And the solution to that is moving on them and recognizing that you're giving that power, you're giving that energy that we can save by finding the courage to take those steps.
Mm-hmm. And
find out for ourselves whether it's something to be afraid of, whether it is actually a threat.
That's such a good point, because in those moments where we're labeling our experience as burnout, we're already feeling so low on energy, it kind of exaggerates how scary that thing we're already afraid of taking action on is, because our mind is, again, self-protecting, and it's worst case scenarioing, and it's making this thing that truthfully, and we've all experienced it, where we take action on something that we were assuming was going to be really hard, really dark, really scary, really uncertain, we were going to give up, we were going to hate it, blah, blah, blah. And then we realize, oh, no, it was the worrying about it that was so much worse than actually doing it. And I've had so many moments like that. And it's funny how I think I am learning very slowly, but still, like, it gets me. Like, the assumption of taking action on something new always is always so scary and heavy and just like, oh my gosh, like I have to really work myself up to do it. And then as soon as I do it, I'm like, what was I so worried about?
yeah, always. Isn't that always our experience? Mm-hmm. I think that a really beautiful way that I've learned how to discern, am I burnt out or am I in avoidance to the thing that's scaring me, is if I imagine removing the outcome, does my experience of that thing change? So mm-hmm. if I really just wasn't worried about the outcome and I wasn't worried about where this was going to take me, does the idea of moving in that direction still feel as heavy?
That's brilliant.
And if it does, right, then maybe I am experiencing some burnout. If it still feels like, oh, I can't, I just don't have it in me. Okay, maybe that's a sign we do need rest. We do need space. We do need to pull back and give our body a chance to downregulate out of that sympathetic state so that we can access our inspiration. A long time ago now, I was speaking into when we're sympathetically activated, We aren't able to think rationally. We aren't able to access the creative part of our brain. So in order to be able to move in that direction eventually, sympathetic downregulation needs to happen. We need to activate parasympathetic activities in our life to come back into balance. But if in that exploration, we imagine the outcome disappearing, and it's just the act of moving in that direction that we're engaged with, and that heaviness lifts, like, oh, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, or we imagine best case scenario happening, right? Mm-hmm. And that weight lifts, likely you're not burnt out, likely you're in resistance and avoidance, and it's that emotional mental energy of resisting the thing you're afraid of that's causing you fatigue, lack of inspiration, lack of motivation. And so then that's what we get to work with.
Mm-hmm. And by resting in those moments, it would actually be kind of fueling that same avoidance and that fear. Like it would keep the looming fear of that worst case scenario expectation alive, because you're just postponing actually finding out the truth about the situation. Yeah. By hiding, by resting. Right. And I think that is my default a lot of the time, is just to, I feel so safe hiding a lot. And by hiding, the intention behind it is to keep myself safe from experiencing the thing I'm afraid of happening. But by hiding, I'm still in fear of the worst case scenario happening. And just like we were talking about, when you're in fear of it, it's like you're experiencing it. Like, yeah. Even if it's the situation, the circumstances haven't happened, it doesn't matter. Your lived experience in your body is still of it happening, because you haven't opened yourself up to it. Mm-hmm. You haven't opened yourself up to, one, receiving the evidence that the worst case scenario probably isn't going to happen, but additionally, also haven't opened yourself up to the possibility that even if it does, you'll be okay. And I think that's the biggest thing, mm-hmm. to learn, mm-hmm. to really, yeah. release ourselves of the weight of fear, because trying to convince ourselves or find evidence that the worst case scenario isn't going to happen can be helpful, but it's still conditional, mm-hmm. on the worst case scenario can't happen. I won't be okay. And then that fear maybe softens, but is still there. A little bit. But as soon as we, and we've talked about this a lot, this is like one of the most powerful things I think I've ever learned in my self-development journey, is as soon as we open ourselves up to that unconditional safety of, like, even if the thing I'm afraid of happening does happen, or the thing that I'm afraid isn't going to happen doesn't happen, I'm still going to be okay, then that is like the most energetically, somatically, mentally freeing thing I think I've ever experienced. And learning how to access that more often, and to not just face my fears by proving myself wrong and like coming up with all the reasons why the bad thing probably isn't going to happen, but actually opening myself up to, well, what if it does? Can I be okay with that? Can I find safety mentally and somatically in my body where that would be okay? That is the most like grounding and I think parasympathetic activating thing I think I've ever experienced.
So yeah, I think, I mean, yes, 1000%. And to guide people towards that direction, if we've identified that, okay, maybe I am just in avoidance of the thing I'm afraid of, and I need to change my relationship to that, I want to be careful that we don't make ourselves wrong for rest, yeah. inside of this, because you are going to need to take space to process and be with this in order to move through what it is you're creating internally. That turbulence, in order to hop up onto your surfboard, from the analogy I offered yesterday, instead of bobbing around in the waves, getting pummeled by white caps, hopping up onto the surfboard and being able to ride the turbulence, we need to effort initially in order to hop up onto that surfboard. But what that effort looks like, from what Kelly's suggesting and what I'm absolutely suggesting, is less so what you're doing tactically in your business, and more so how you're efforting to create space to really be with what's happening internally. That takes effort too. And I think when we bypass that and we think, oh, I'm just an avoidance, I just need to suck it up and try harder, but we don't actually place our energy into this pocket where we're actually working with that fear and allowing it to downregulate in our body and coming into a different kind of relationship with it somatically, that's when we exacerbate our previous symptoms and then blame the fact that I knew it. I knew I was burnt out. And maybe actually push yourself to a place of actual burnout through that process. So we have to be careful. It's a dance. It's not just, oh, I'm avoiding, so let me judge it and push into doing. No. Acknowledge the avoidance, acknowledge the resistance, and then hold space for it daily and play with it in your mind and in your body and explore, okay, can I be okay if that doesn't happen or does happen for me? What does that feel like? What does that okayness, that safety feel like in my body if I was to access it now? And then moving from that place into action. It's a very subtle but very important difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's huge.
Hi again. Before you go, I wanted to make sure you knew about the Secret Garden. This is my private membership where I give you unlimited access to all my best stuff, like my entire trigger mapping curriculum, all my workshops, monthly immersive live events, weekly live calls, and different layers of support, each designed for you to access at the depth that you desire. I designed it to stretch you to new edges as a coach and a leader, to unravel your conditioning and wake you up to your truth so you can stand in your gift and lead your people from that place. I've linked it up in the show notes for you to explore more when it feels good for you. Okay, I'll see you back here soon. Love ya.